Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, January 13th. 13 is a good number for Jews, in case you guys don't know.
Is it?
Yeah,
it is. I thought it was 18.
No, I mean, it's the age of bar mitzvah and everything, you know. That's when a boy becomes a man. So, you know, whereas in some places 13 is a bad luck number, like in Christianity, I guess, right? Friday the 13th and everything, people don't like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
They well. Don't.
Yeah. So just for those of you who are curious, it's a good number. And so I'm glad to be part of January 13th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's what, Tuesday? Who knows anymore?
Can you believe it's the mid of January already?
It's kind of weird.
It
it's
is.
Almost February. Yeah. Might as well be February 1.
Time flies, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it
does.
It's
pretty ridiculous, actually. And I think as we get older, time just flies a little faster, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Because a year becomes a smaller fraction of your life every year, you know. So, like, you know, when you're 10 years old, then a year seems like forever because a
right.
year is one-tenth of your life.
Well, now I feel like a month is a week.
Yeah.
It's real quick.
Yeah. I guess a month is the new week then, right?
Yes, it's trendy. I don't know. I think time flies. It's kind of crazy how, like, we're already starting to think of Valentine's Day.
I know. Well, you are.
I mean, I'm not. I have no reason to, other than the amount of chocolate I'll probably consume and a good amount of wine. Definitely wine.
Yeah. But it's not like you don't have a reason to. I mean, there's always love in the air, you know. So
there is.
You have to celebrate, you know. You don't have to have somebody bringing you down 24 hours a day, you know.
That's how you view relationships. Oh, Sam.
No, that's not how I view them, but that's how I view them, I guess.
Yeah, it is. the parking attendant actually tried to set me up with his friend yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I'm sure that happens to you quite a bit, huh?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to see who wants to put me with whom. I'm like, yeah. I don't even get it. But all right. If that's what
yeah,
you want.
Like you don't know me, you know. How do you know I'm going to get along with that person?
I don't think people care usually.
Yeah, I know. It's just they want to fix them up or something.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty funny stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever go to a matchmaker?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Right?
I have. I've had them reach out to me and say, like, you would be great to set up with the people we have paying for our service. So I'm like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
But then I went on one date, and I'm pretty sure the guy was gay. I don't know why he's being set up with women at all.
Yeah.
Don't get it. But what else? It's
that's
his dollar.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe he was just feminine or something, you know?
I mean, this
guy's like that.
Pretty sure he was gay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm betting on it, actually. So.
Well, did you tell them at the agency?
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I don't have no idea why you set me up with that guy. I don't know why he's paying for you to set him up with women, and I want to have my 1 hour back.
Yeah. I know. It's pretty pricey, you know. I mean, they gear this towards richer people, obviously, because they might as well, right? They're going to do the same amount of work. They might as well do it with people with a lot of money. So I've had a couple of them over the years on the show and stuff, and it's pretty interesting what they do.
Yeah.
You know, fixing people up and stuff. But I don't know, you know. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, I think. Did you ever go to speed dating?
No, that I don't understand. I can't do anything that quickly and make decisions. Like,
you don't have to make decisions, but I mean, at least like you get to meet a lot of people quickly, you know. It might actually be good.
Maybe, but I feel like that happens also on Tinder. You can just swipe until you like meet everybody and then have like 20 conversations at once, which I'm so not good at.
Yeah.
I cannot multitask like that.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I do that with text and I send the wrong one to the wrong person.
Sam, that's bad.
That's really bad. Sometimes you have to be, you always have to be really careful.
That happened to me, actually. Once in college, I sent my roommate a message I was writing about her to her.
Oh, my God.
I meant to send it to my boyfriend at the time being like, why'd you put me in the same apartment with this girl? She's awful.
Oh,
and I wrote it to her.
And what happened? Did it
we had to talk about
deal?
It and that was very awkward.
Wow. I know. You have to be very careful. I mean, it's like easy to make that mistake.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Yeah. Luckily, I had an understanding person on the other side of the line.
What'd you say to them?
I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think I was like trying to pick up two different women or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta That's be careful pretty bad. With that. Yeah.
You know, you don't text them at the same time, you know?
Right. Like pick an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Dedicate that hour to that one person. Then that person, the other person's still there.
Yeah.
An hour later.
That's true. That's true. And yeah, that's a problem that comes with texting. You know, I mean, when you talk, it's not, when you talk on the phone, it doesn't happen. So, you know, there's a lot of things we have to be careful with this technology, you know, because it's very easy to screw up, you know, with emails too, you know.
Yep.
Sometimes I want to send an email and I'm thinking about it and suddenly my finger just presses something and it gets sent.
Yeah, you got to watch out with that.
Yeah, but no, I'm curious about speed dating. I want to check it out and see what it's like, you know.
Might as well. Give it a shot.
Yeah, you know. And if nothing works, we'll go to Matchmaker or something. But, you know.
If you need one, I know a couple.
Do you?
Yeah.
I wonder if they go, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Give it a shot. Maybe once. I won't.
Yeah. Yeah, because those dating sites don't work for me. I mean, I don't seem to find the right people there. So I don't spend that much time on it, you know. I mean, I meet more people through Facebook than I do.
You love Facebook.
Well, not really, but it's but yeah, compared to the other ones, I mean, I'm not really on Instagram, and Twitter is just like it's there, you know, but I don't really relate to it as much as I like Facebook.
Oh, I took to Twitter last night in a major way. I live tweeted The Bachelor, and
really?
I had a lot to say.
Uh-huh.
And people retweeted and favorited the things I had to say, so I was pretty proud of my work.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're strong on Twitter. You like
Thank
it.
You.
Right?
But I don't have as many followers as you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I'm in the process of being verified, though. That's serious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Uh-huh. How do you get verified?
Well, your best friend works for Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So I have that.
That helps.
Yeah. No, actually, she's very, very by the book. So she's like, once you have 4 episodes of the same show on broadcast television, I can put you through the process.
Wow.
So that happened, and now she's putting
you through the process. Why does it have to do with the shows at all?
I don't know. You have to be like a public figure in some way, and you have to fit certain criteria, and it has to be on broadcast. It can't be on this, and it has to be that, and I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like I said, you know, I mean, you have like millions of people coming through here. So I don't know. Everybody uses Twitter, I guess.
You yeah. So. It's a way to communicate with words.
Yeah. No, I know. But it's a way to communicate to the whole world. Where
right.
Facebook is a little more intimate. I think I like that better.
I mean, imagine how like the hashtag Just Sweet Charlie is doing in Twitter because you reach everybody.
That's true.
Every person is on Twitter.
I know. It's good, like for like to broadcast messages and stuff, you know, out there. But
you can reach so many people.
Yeah,
just the use of a hashtag. It's incredible. It's pretty powerful, actually.
Let's
talk about freedom of speech.
Yeah,
Twitter allows that.
You should do a video on using Twitter and stuff, or write a book or something.
I think they've been written.
Yeah, they have.
There's a lot of tools out there.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
I mean, I have my own opinions of it.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's get to our guest. We don't have any time for the news today. And what was interesting to me, I just wanted to bring this up, is in Saudi Arabia, I guess this blogger gets flogged like 1,000 times. So 20 days, 50 lashes each day.
What?
Yeah. For being a blogger, for being an activist. That's Saudi Arabia. So if anybody wants to travel there, I have other ideas for you. Just don't. You know, just go to other places. These places are stuck in the Stone Age, you know. And, you know, I mean, imagine his wife says, like, every lash killed me, you know, just to watch this.
Oh.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, what are they trying to accomplish with that? I don't know. I mean, the guy is, you know, if he's got opinions, yeah. But if he's got opinions, he's going to, you know, give them anyway.
I'm surprised they even allow internet there.
Yeah, I know. I know. They're crazy. Yeah. And then in New York, I guess, fourth grade students allegedly plotted to kill their teacher.
What?
To poison her. I mean, these are fourth graders.
How are they learning this
Yeah,
stuff?
These are girls, too. 9 and 10-year-old girls.
What did the teacher do to deserve such a sentence?
They said she was mean.
Oh, God.
So they were planning to put, like, poison on things around the classroom they knew the teacher would touch.
Where were they getting poison from?
I don't know. Where were they getting the ideas? My God.
TV, you know? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, every story has to do with some kind of death, so.
Yeah.
You know. But how about their parents? Anybody want to find out what they're doing to punish these little brats?
Who knows? The school obviously suspended the kids, but they say no charges were filed. Well, we'll see about that, you know. I mean, these stupid kids. Yeah, well, anyway.
How about the parents? Anybody want to talk about them?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They're not saying anything.
I need
so
to know.
Yeah.
Can't just suspend these kids so they go home and, like, are off from school. Like, right. There needs to be real consequences.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be.
I hope there's, like, community service or something.
Yeah.
Something serious.
Yeah, right. For fourth graders, I don't know. They might actually get away with it. But, you know, what do you do to kids, you know?
I don't know. Honestly, when I was in fourth grade, I had to go to therapy because of the kids I went to school with. I did go to therapy. My mom put me in child therapy, and I talked about the mean girls.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So I get it. They have a real effect on other people.
Well, good for you. I mean, she cared for you, you know, so that was cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to our guest right now. We have a very special guest in the studio.
Very special.
And he's still in his motorcycle gear and everything.
He sleeps right? in it.
Yeah. The leather jacket and everything.
Yeah, that's how he wakes up.
And we have radio stations KFI 640s, 640s. Aaron Cohen, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Hey. Come on, you can talk louder than that, right?
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's just get right in.
Yeah.
There.
It's okay. I mean, the level's good. You just need to be closer. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
me.
So
you guys are friends, right?
Yep.
And where did you guys meet?
At a club in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, that's at Coco DeVille, like 4 years ago. Almost
wow.
5 years ago.
I don't even remember.
Awesome.
Wow.
Memorable. Very
well,
memorable.
I was going to try.
I mean, you can't forget Jennifer because she'll make you remember it in the most memorable way possible. But
I'll tell you the story.
Well, no. I know you through Brett a publicist. Ski. Correct, Brett.
He's not a publicist.
A promoter.
Okay.
Listen, I'm trying to give the guy a little bit of love. You don't have to smash him.
I'm just being honest to our listeners. Right now, he's a promoter, I would say.
Okay.
So we met.
He's also a filmmaker.
He is, and a director and a writer.
In fact, I believe you were involved with one of his projects.
I was, Closing Time. You can see it online.
So I'm just trying to bring the positive.
Moving on.
That's good. We appreciate that.
I met Aaron through Brett and immediately said to Aaron Cohen, can I have money to go buy a drink? So he gave me a 20. I went and bought myself a drink, and then I don't think I gave you the change. I can't remember doing
that. You probably didn't.
No.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, how do you say no to a pretty girl? You just give her the $20 and go get your drink, right?
You know what? I felt bad.
Did you?
She looked thirsty.
Yeah, she needed a drink, right?
Help me, I'm poor.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that takes some balls to ask for that, right?
I guess.
No?
I don't know. I have them, so I just do things like that. I ask for what I want. People have the opportunity to say no. They don't often.
Yeah, that's true.
Choices.
So now, was this like supposed to be like to fix you guys up or something? Is that how you met?
No. We've just been friends for many years.
Yeah.
Right, but initially was
no,
it
I don't think it was
wasn't supposed to be a relationship.
It was
or anything.
Just like Jews coming
it
together.
Was, we were like just two yentas. I guess they went to summer camp together. I was hanging out with a buddy of mine, and we were just all sort of part of the same group. And then this one was like, can I have money to buy a drink? And I was like, okay.
Sure.
I like a little cousin. I just wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
So you got the drink. Did you come back to the group?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For like a minute.
Yeah.
I definitely said thank you.
Sam, you learn in Los Angeles that there's no way to not pay for drinks for women when you're out.
It's right.
Just, that's the cost of
it's expected,
doing any business
right.
in LA. Everything has got like a little price tag and... You know, so you're always going to be paying for stuff. You know what I mean? If you're a guy and you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do it for all the girls that I'm friends with. Like, I will always, I'm the guy who always pays.
Yeah.
I hate people who are cheap. Kamsanim.
Yeah.
I also velize.
English.
I'm translating.
English.
I can't stand it. I hate cheapskates. Yeah. I like everybody to have a good time when you're out.
Yeah.
It's very important to me. You know what I mean? And when you're out and there's girls and everybody's having fun, like, I'm always the guy who will pick up around.
Yeah.
And I never ask, and here's the weird thing. Mm-hmm. When I have no cash on me, or I forgot my wallet, or I screwed up, I'm embarrassed to ask people to hook me up.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I know. Well, I would be too.
Like,
hey, man,
can you get this around? Like, I get this chemical dump, and I start like, and I go into like tunnel vision and auditory exclusion. Everything starts shutting down and dermal reaction, right? And I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you. And I'll say thank you for like an hour. Thanks for the drink, bro. Thanks for the drink.
I'll just say it once.
You don't even mean it.
Yes, I do. Thank you for the beverage. Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go. Yeah, thank you, and see you later.
Yeah, right. So we're all pals, you know?
Yeah. For years. Yeah.
And, very
and,
cool.
Yeah, and so, you know, she's working in entertainment, and I work peripherally in entertainment, and I have for a while. And like you said, I have this radio show now, so when she asked me to come in, I was like, totally.
Yeah.
Radio's,
so what is
you know,
your
you
show
gotta,
is about?
So I host a show on the weekends from 4 to 6 on KFI AM 640. I am their military and security analyst. Mm. I served in the IDF. I was in Duv Devan, which is a counterterror unit. And I was one of the first Americans in the unit. I wrote a book about it called Brotherhood of Warriors.
Good book. I read it.
Good book.
Wow.
And thank you. And so I've been doing media for a long time, Fox News and CNN, and as an analyst. And
very cool.
So they hit me up and they were like, listen, I've been going on the show as a guest for a couple of years. And then they approached me and said, would you be interested in doing a show? Actually, they asked me if I would be their official military and security guy on the other shows. And then when I was in the elevator with the with the head of programming, I go, so you want to do a show? And she looked at me and goes, that's the kind of chutzpah.
Yeah.
It's
almost like you asked her for a drink or money
it's
for
like
a drink.
I told her she was giving me a job.
There you go. Well, that's the way to do it. You know,
I mean, I learned that in Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't ask, you will not get.
Exactly.
That's an
and
Israeli
sometimes you
term.
Have to even just take.
Even if it's
asking.
Just.
Maybe I'm Israeli.
A drink.
Oh, I'll ask for more than that. I'll ask for anything. No shame.
So this is cool. So we'll come back to the book and everything.
Sure.
But so where did you grow up here?
I'm from Beverly Hills. Uh-huh. Actually, well, let me back up. I was born in Canada, in Montreal. My whole family's Canadian. Canadian
oh, wow.
Jews from Westmount, Montreal. Moved to Miami when I was 2, which Jen probably doesn't know.
Yes, I do.
Lived there
till
I was about 7 or 8.
Read your book.
My mother divorced and then ended up remarrying, and I moved to LA when I was 9 or 10 or 11. Mm. So I'm really an Angeleno. I grew up here. I went to Beverly Hills High School, and then when I was 18, I made Aliyah for the purpose of doing the IDF.
Right.
And then when I finished the IDF, I incorporated a security consulting company, and so now I protect celebrities and rock stars and dignitaries. And then 9/11 hit, and I opened my company about 2 years before 9/11. And then when 9/11 hit, I was approached by the U.S. government to start training law enforcement and the military in Israeli tactics, which I've been doing now for 13 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. And this is all stuff you learned in the military.
There's not one piece of information that I teach that I thought of.
Really?
No. I am the least original person in this room. But I can take something that I was taught and communicate it in a way that's friendly for the US government.
Yeah.
You can't come in like an Israeli and say, "Okay, you're there now. Go." You got to be a little
different.
You got to be a little
Yeah. So now what was your childhood like here in Beverly Hills?
It's terrible.
Why?
My mother was married like 4 times.
Really?
Oh, I lived in 5 different cities growing up as a kid.
Wow, that's pretty tough, huh?
Yeah, horrible.
You can't really grow roots or anything.
No, it's terrible. I grew up in the like in the shadow, like in the fringe of Hollywood.
Yeah.
My stepfather, I'm not going to say his name, is an Academy Award winning writer, and it made some very important films, but we didn't have a close relationship. I kind of grew up in the fringe of Hollywood, and I was always around it, and it turned me off. It was such a turn off that I literally was like, I need to go find something real. It was like the scene in Almost Famous.
Really? So, I mean, still already as a kid, you realized that.
Well, I got sent to military school when I was 14 for being a bad kid, but it was like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Why don't you get married a few more times, move around a few more times, and then
and totally
see if
screw
I behave.
Me up. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
did you have any closeness to any of the stepfathers?
No, they all sucked.
Yeah.
They all sucked. One was an alcoholic. The other one was abusive. The other one was, I mean, nothing sexual or weird.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like that.
Yeah, but beating up and stuff, right?
No, yeah. No, it was just, you know.
Emotional.
You know what it is? I grew up with the sons of Hollywood. So, like, the Bruckheimer's kids, I grew up with Scott Kahn. I went to Beverly Hills High School, so it was like, all these super talented kids who were totally effed up out of their, Robin, I didn't swear, yeah, who were totally effed up out of their minds because their parents were like these generals or these 500-pound gorillas in the industry. And so we were all neglected. I played Little League with every studio kid and every director's kid and every actor's kid. Like, there was like 10 of them. I was like one of the writer's kid. Like, and all of us were just bad because everybody's so entitled in Hollywood that like you get pushed to the side because it's so hard to make a career in this town. And it, now that I'm doing media and that I actually directed a film a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And so I get how hard it is to break into this. But there's just, it doesn't matter. So we turn out to be these crazy animals, but I guess once we find our way, I just like to say, I like to tell people, because nobody's from here, including you.
And right, you. Definitely right. not.
And I like to tell people, I like to say, listen, in Los Angeles, the actual Angelinos, the kids who are from here, we're the New Yorkers. Mm. We don't care about your yoga class. We don't care about your Pilates. We don't care about your acting class. We don't care about your new freaking spot that you found at King's Road. Like, we're just, we're very rare. You're not going to meet a lot of us, but we're all the fringe of like the talent in some way.
Right.
So we're all screwed up. But at the end of the day, I feel like we're all tough because of it.
Yeah.
And almost we end up balancing out even stronger on the back end once we hit our 30s.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm kind of coming into mine now.
Right.
You didn't just hit your 30s, though.
I'm coming into 40.
Now,
I can't believe I'm like 38. I feel like my skin is looking good on my bones, though.
Yeah.
You know, as you get older, I feel like I'm getting better looking.
You think 38 is older? Come on. Relax.
Sam,
enjoy yourself.
Sam.
Enjoy yourself.
Good. What skin cream are you using?
I'm not.
You know what? After the army, I'm all about like just making myself pretty.
Really?
Oh,
that's good though.
Creams.
You make your skin last.
I've turned into a woman.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Excuse
right. you. Dude, the hair. Yeah. Everything. I'm just all about like taking, because the army just destroys your body.
Sounds like you went a little Hollywood. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I'm turned into the biggest douche I know.
Oh.
Like, I am the biggest D-bag of all of them. I went so far in the opposite direction that I think it was in Mean Girls. What did he say? I act almost too gay to function as far as how I take care of myself.
You just quoted Mean Girls. That's
amazing. Watched it. It's been on, and I'm can I tell you there's one more I've been watching? This has been a marathon. My sister texted me. She's like, can we do this scene together?
I feel like you're in confessional right now. Go for it.
Listen, when I'm sitting with you, it's always a confessional. Sam, I don't know how you survive an hour. favorite childhood movie? It's been on all week.
What?
And my two nieces are going nuts. And I literally start singing.
Frozen?
No.
Oh, what?
Annie.
Oh, the new one?
No, the original one.
Oh, the new one's so good.
I'm doing the new one.
I'm so
loyal to Carol Burnett.
Oh, okay.
And
get with the times.
You know, I am with the times.
My dad says hi, that he's a fan.
Tell him thanks for reading my book. And he can always text me, and I will always dig up dirt on Jen anytime she steps out of line.
He's probably listening, but also that's too much to type. So I'm going to let you tell him that at some other point.
Okay.
Great.
So, no, when you were a kid, so you didn't have any interest in being in Hollywood and everything?
No. I wasn't. I didn't have that option. The door wasn't opened up to me.
Okay. Did you have hopes? Like, did you think I'd like to be an actor?
No. I was sent to military school when I was like 14.
Oh, wow.
I stole my parents' car. I was driving it to school. When I was 14, I was like, I put 20 grand on my mother's credit card and pay attention to me.
Well, yeah, there you go. At 14.
Yeah, at 14. God. I was parking next to the teachers.
Really?
Was your sister bad too?
She was like a different kind of bad. She was like bad, but would get away with stuff. I was bad to intentionally get it, like to purposely get attention. So it was a different animal.
Yeah.
I was sent to military school, and I did that for 2 years, and then I came back and I graduated from Beverly Hills High School. And then my parents. This is the only thing that was good about the whole Hollywood run. My stepfather had the rights to do this, the life story of Moshe Dayan, and they were very close friends. And so,
who's that?
Moshe Dayan was one of the most famous generals in Israel.
Right, that's the one with the patch on his eye. You may have seen it. He was very famous because
okay.
of it.
We're gonna.
That's okay.
Gonna
yeah,
you're not we'll Google you in when the time is
I
right.
I only recently educated myself, so
yeah, you're not. No, yeah. But you're not expected to know Israeli.
Thank
history.
You.
Actually,
stuff,
you yeah. are kind of expected
Am
to know
I?
A little more about Israel.
Am
You've
I?
Had some time in Israel with Israelis.
Yeah. Oh,
hey. Yeah, but only as much as he needed to.
Clearly, not enough to know the name of the general.
No, that wasn't what I was studying there.
Right. Wasn't he like an officer or something? Come on, man.
Mine, my guy.
I mean, didn't he give you any history?
No, he definitely did not. That's not what we were doing.
All right, so
that's what they were doing. No history.
We'll save birthright for another show. Anyways,
we've talked about it on here.
I'm sure you have. So they were doing. He was working on a film for Moshe Dayan, and then one of the generals at the time who was close to Dayan ended up staying at our house for a couple of weeks and had a tremendous influence on me when I was 17. Mm. And it was this Israeli with this hairy chest, just this like eating and spitting seeds. It was disgusting. Like the guy couldn't, he just didn't give a crap.
Wow.
And it was so weird and interesting to see a guy who was so secure as a man, who was so, his identity was so locked in. I looked at that. I hadn't seen or been around that kind of male figure. Mm. And he looked at me and goes, "You should go to Israel."
Really?
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. That was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, "You should go. Keep your mouth shut. Go live on a kibbutz." And so he hooked me up a little bit, and I ended up spending a summer on a kibbutz. It was called Hazoreya, which is in the north near a small town called Yokneam.
Uh-huh.
Not far from Megiddo Junction.
Right, yeah.
Which is right by the Jenin
Israel.
Entrance, yeah.
Right.
And ended up doing an ulpan, which is an intensive Hebrew program where you study and learn Hebrew, and you work, and you end up working on the kibbutz, and in exchange you get fed and you get a bed, and it was kind of a socialist system that I think has fallen apart since then.
Yeah,
I survived.
It was a very amazing thing that I believe was the seeds of Israel when it's, you know, in 48 when it was originally founded, and so spent the summer there, and then finished my senior year of high school, made Aliyah, and then went back and joined the army, and I was like, that's what I want to go do.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
So did you feel like a connection to the land? And
I am eternally connected to Israel. Wow. I spent my entire late teens and early 20s there. I mean, the only tragedy is that the only thing I know of Israel is war.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because when I left, I never identified with Israel and had a good time. Mm. The only thing I knew was you know, getting the crap beaten out of me in training and you know, chasing bad guys.
Right.
And so I never got to really close the chapter. I left a lot of blood there, if that makes sense. You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? There's a chunk of me that remains there that I never got closure on. But I plan on going to Israel in the next couple of months, and I'm going to go there and do nothing.
Good
it's
for
a
you.
Fun place.
Yeah.
I had a
yeah,
great
Israel's
time.
A good time.
It definitely is fun.
But you know what? I always say Israel just pays such a high price to have a state.
That's true.
The collective PTSD of everybody there and the fact that everybody serves, it's like, I don't blame Israelis for moving here.
Right.
I never judged the cook in my unit. I never judged the truck driver. I never judged the Israeli who never served who came to the States, because I don't know if I'd want my kids to go do the IDF.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. I mean, you get killed.
You get killed, yeah. And but you know, when you live there, you have to go. I mean, otherwise, you can't make a life for yourself without, you know. But
isn't that like a legal thing? You have to do it.
Yeah,
right.
You do.
Well, yeah, but it's also like it's changed so much that people are just getting out of the army,
right?
And they're just skinning out. I mean, the collective narrative of the Israeli persona is not the same from when I was there.
Mm.
It's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of the good Israelis. You left
well,
in the
you 70s. Don't know that.
You know,
but
Sam, look at me. I'm trained. I can tell.
Oh, you're trained to know people.
No, I can tell.
Okay.
You're okay.
Cool. Thank you. Well, I appreciate it.
But yeah, you know, times have changed. I think it's a different generation now. But yeah. I don't judge the Israelis either, because, you know, they were born into it.
What years were you there?
I served 95 to 98.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was before. I mean, that was when the territories were bad.
Yeah.
You know, there was no green zone. There was no Shetach A and Shetach B.
And you got to remember, that's 30 years after they were taken.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still not resolved. But that's the problem.
It's a mess. I mean, welcome to the Middle East.
Right.
Left means right.
Right.
Right means right sometimes. And right means left if you're lucky. And just and when you're hitchhiking, don't get picked up by an Arab.
Yeah, try very hard not to. Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people hitchhike there all the time, too.
Oh, I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost got kidnapped hitchhiking.
Really?
Yeah, but like not really.
No.
I mean, they tried, but no.
Really? They tried?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I was in my I think I was in basic training. And then, wow. I had, like, it's a two-fingered salute. You put your two fingers out like this.
Yeah.
You don't actually use your thumb in Israel.
Yeah.
You just put one finger out. And then this,
like pointing.
And I could tell these Israeli Arabs, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
They pulled up and they stopped and I put my rifle up and I went.
Wow.
Keep driving. Sa.
Wow.
Ala tul.
Very cool.
What's that?
Keep driving.
Yeah, move on.
Oh. Yeah.
So now, did you find that,
good questions,
that going to the military school here, did it help you?
Had nothing
with the military there?
No,
huh?
No, I didn't learn one thing except how to shun boots and make a bed,
right.
Which helps now.
Yeah.
That's one thing I make my bed every morning. I mean, is it OCD? Do you guys make
your bed? I make my bed every morning.
I have to because I work out of my home a lot.
Right.
And
so
when you're walking by the
nice. Yeah.
When you're walking by the bedroom, it can't be a mess in there.
Right.
I literally can't. I'm like, I'll keep turning and looking. Keep turning.
Yeah.
You know, Jews.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
There you
it's
go.
Bad.
Neurosis.
Oh, I'm probably not as bad as you.
Listen, I am not that neurotic.
You're having a meltdown right now.
Because of your judgment.
But that's the thing.
I have dealt with this judgment for 5 years.
No, you're taking what I'm saying and you're associating it with judgment. And that's a reaction.
Yes, I have an adverse reaction to you.
Because you're a Jew.
Right, well.
There you go. Stays in the family, right?
Yeah.
So
the military school didn't help a lot.
Didn't
no.
help.
No.
Right.
No,
now, so,
anything.
But, so, I mean, the military school you didn't really want to go to. The IDF, did you want to go
yeah.
and do that?
Yes, that was the reason
so
why I moved to Israel.
It was a conscious
yeah, for the purpose of indoctrinating.
Had you been there before? I mean, did you go what you were going to?
I spent that summer there before I became a senior in high school and then went to the Army.
I see. Okay.
So I had a good look around.
Yeah.
And liked what I saw. I saw the opposite of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I went, whoa, everybody here just doesn't care.
Yeah. And for young people, it's really cool to grow up in Israel, wouldn't you say? From what you've seen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The men are really sexist.
Yeah,
the girls
no,
get
that's
it really
true.
Tough. The girls get it really tough.
But I mean, like growing up there, though, you know, as kids and stuff. I mean, it's
I
like
think
so
when
so
you're a
safer,
kid, but
right?
I think that yeah, but I think being a teenager in Israel is brutal.
Yeah,
I think being a teenage girl growing up in Israel is brutal because the guys are so sexist.
Sexist.
Yeah.
Right.
And that makes the women so tough.
Yeah.
Like worse than you.
You're well, like, I have a little bit in
listen,
my heart.
Yeah. You're like a bowl of you're like a strawberry. Okay, I'm talking about homeless right now. By the way, I've been watching the Zohan. Have you seen the Zohan?
Yeah,
it's so
that
funny.
That was a terrible movie.
I loved it.
Stop did saying it
really?
Was terrible. It was funny, and you know it was.
Well, I don't know. I didn't laugh, and I
it
like
wasn't
him,
realistic. All the Israelis saying it was so funny though. That's the Israeli argument number one. You come at them with a different angle. No, it's not realistic. That's the first answer. What do you mean it's not realistic? They change when you start hitting them in Hebrew, though.
Is that why you keep doing that?
Well, Israelis think you're stupid in English, but when you switch,
really?
To when you switch to Hebrew, then they go, oh, okay.
Wow. See, you learned a lot of things about them. Yeah, I mean, you learned a lot of things about them that I didn't because I left at 16. You know, so I was still young and everything.
Sam, you still have an accent.
I know.
Hang on to it.
But
it,
you
it,
know
it's
what?
Working on you.
The thing is that there's a certain age when if you start speaking before that age,
that's
you
true.
Don't have an accent.
That's true.
And I think it's 13 or something or 12.
You missed the cutoff.
I don't know. Yeah, I did.
But you know what? You got like a sexy accent like BB.
Thank you.
Keep it.
Yeah.
It's working.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know.
Yeah, people have told me don't do anything with it because I try to change it
like
more.
Like we're going to like a speech therapist.
Yeah, therapist and stuff didn't work. Man.
Jennifer's been going to a speech pathologist for years.
Really, huh?
It
doesn't work.
No, yeah. My voice gets deeper though.
It's somewhere between Marge Simpson and...
What's the other thing?
I haven't...
You always call me Marge.
Well, because you're raspy.
Lauren Hutton, maybe. You know who Lauren Hutton
Who's
is?
Lauren Hutton?
No.
No. She was the she was a very famous. Oh, you don't even know her. You see, you're young, man.
The name sounds familiar.
Lauren Hutton.
No, he's disinterested. That's
she
why
she was
he
a big model before there were like supermodels and
so
stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah, and she has a little like very sexy space between her front teeth.
You
so.
Like the space?
Oh, I used to have a space between my teeth when
Did
I was
you?
Little, and then it closed. It's called a diastema. My grandfather was a dentist, and he was very concerned that my teeth were going to be horrific.
Really?
And that I would need braces, but it never happened for me. Smile.
Really? Yeah, very good smile. And he didn't have to do any work or anything?
No. Wow. They just grew together.
Very lucky.
Miracle.
Yeah.
Saved my parents a lot of money.
So she has a voice like yours.
Oh.
You know, so yeah. But I find it very sexy, don't you? I mean, it's very cool.
What, the voice?
The voice.
I've seen past the sexiness now.
Yeah. No, I mean, in general, not
it's,
just
it's Jen's. Little cousin-y.
Not just Jen's,
not
though.
Mine.
I mean, I'm talking in general.
Yeah.
Women with raspy voice.
I mean, you know.
Your voice just went up.
She is smart, though. She won't let you get away with anything.
She's very sharp.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. She is. Talk a little bit about, okay, so you served in the military. In what capacity? What did you... You went to basic training, right?
I served in a counterterrorist
unit. They deconstructed you and built you back up as a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
What unit?
Duve Devan.
Right, which is Cherry.
I used to dress up as an Arab and go undercover.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Were you a woman at some point?
A very good-looking woman.
You played an Arab woman.
Hemda.
Stop.
Wow. So now, that's obviously dangerous stuff. I mean,
yes.
You're infiltrating.
Correct.
Wow. And how did you decide to get into that?
I did what's called a gibush. You try out.
Oh, okay.
So you basically run up and down hills on a beach for a week without sleeping.
And people can't understand, you know, wanting to do that, you know, because, I mean, you think, okay, if somebody has to do it, I can understand. But why would you try out for something like that?
Well, I figured if I was going to go to the Israeli army and travel 10,000 miles, then I should do everything in my power to try and get into one of the more elite units.
Mm. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
Wow.
I didn't go,
cool.
I didn't travel 10,000 miles to be a cook. Not to say that eating isn't important in the army, because without the food, you can't. There's no fuel.
Right.
But I wanted to work at the tip of the spear.
Be more active.
I wanted to affect the direct safety of Israelis.
Right.
And I wanted to learn as many things as I could.
Wow.
And then, you know, it's a little bit of bravado, and it's a little bit of kind of finding yourself, and a little bit of movies and all that crap. But you know how it is in Israel. At the end of the day, like I walked from Israel going, it's not about any of those things. It's just about protecting our people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad things happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's about protecting our people and about remembering what happened to us collectively.
Right.
Because with no Jewish state, there's no Jews.
Yeah. No,
look
absolutely.
What happened in France.
Yeah, and Bibi's telling everybody come home to Israel, you know?
Bibi's annoying me.
Yeah, you don't like him,
such a putz right now. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, well... I don't know. I happen to like him for the most part.
Yeah,
I think
you
he's
like him because he's a hawk.
Things.
Yeah, the American Israelis like the hawks.
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. You know, not necessarily. But I just think that he's. I mean, he's a leader. You know, you may not like him, but
you know
he,
what I think
he's
he is?
A leader.
I think he's a talker. I think he's. I think he's a right wing puppet.
Okay, well, whatever.
Listen,
let's not get into politics.
Yeah, politics. Yeah, that's the one thing. It gets nasty.
Yeah, especially in Israel, that's all they talk about is politics.
You know what I didn't realize? I didn't realize how left wing Ynet was.
Yeah,
until
what's
I started
Ynet?
Reading it, Ynet's an Israeli English paper.
Oh,
and I just like started following them on Facebook just to get some news for my show, and then I didn't realize how, I mean, they hate him, and they just keep like lashing out at him so bad. That's the funny thing; everyone thinks Israel's so united. It's not true.
Yeah,
there's total extremes.
Right? No, it's far from united.
Oh yeah, it's completely divided, like almost down the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Aaron Cohen, who's actually KFI AM 640's Aaron Cohen. We have to say that.
He belongs to them.
I'm theirs.
That's quite a title.
Yeah.
Sundays, 4 to 6.
4 to 6 on KFI.
4 to 6, yeah.
What do you talk about?
I'm their military and security analyst. I talk about anything I want. They want me targeted on the military and security stuff. So I kind of bounce around current events that are security related. And I give my perspective, but then I'll like do Aaron Cohen's top 25 list of things you should let go of for 2015.
Right. You had like a resolution list, didn't you?
I love the lists. I find that I'm very motivational.
Are you?
Yeah, because when you can tie in the military, starting your own business, I've worked in film, I've had some exciting things. I wrote a book. And
oh, yeah. What was that film you did?
I worked on a film called Haywire. I worked on a film called Haywire.
That was with Pamela Anderson, right?
Gina Carano. Gina Carano. Why worked on a, Steven Soderbergh hired me to be the tech advisor, and I also co-starred in the film.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very cool.
I do some acting. I dabble.
You worked with Channing Tatum. Who else?
I worked Channing Tatum.
Ewan McGregor was in it?
Did you see him picking up Jenna's dress at the Globes?
Yeah,
he's a really sweet guy.
I know. I think I might have tweeted about his spray tan, in fact.
I mean, he's just... Can I tell you something about Channing?
Yes.
He's the nicest person in the world. He's such a good husband. He's just like... He lives for her.
Really? Wow. That's awesome. They just had a kid.
I think it was a while ago.
Or they had one at some point.
I think he's one or two, or she's one or two.
I can't stand, though, all of the rumors that come out about them, that they're splitting up every other day. Like,
no.
They target any couple that's doing well.
Yeah.
They're like, we will see you fail. True, yeah.
If I was hugely famous and married, I would generate a split up every other day.
Would you?
You just like drama. I actually hate drama, but I don't mind a fight, though.
That's kind of the same thing. You do like a little bickering here and there.
A little bit.
Does that come from being in the Army?
I don't know.
Are you just combative all the time?
I'm just combative with you.
Oh. Lucky me.
Because you bust balls.
I do.
But that's a good friendship, you know? I mean, if you can get to
listen,
that point,
Jen is a good friend. Yeah. Jen is a good friend, and I'm glad to have her around.
Thanks.
And I'm glad to be here. And she's a hard worker.
Yeah.
And,
tell me more. Thanks, Aaron Cohn.
You're welcome, Jennifer. Welcome.
So you wrote a book called Brotherhood of Warriors, and that's available, I see, on Amazon.
Yes.
You also have a website. You guys can check out more information. Go ahead and give out the website.
It's ims-security.com. I provide bodyguard services. I also train the government. So if you're... I don't know what your law enforcement and military demographics are on as far as your listeners go. But,
I have no idea.
You know.
I'll tell you what. If you're a business manager or an agent and have a whining, pissy, crybaby celebrity that needs protection, I'm the guy. I've toured with multiple rock stars. I've done massive celebrity weddings that I've been hired
Name drop.
I can't.
What?
Contractual reasons, I do not or do not talk about the names of the clients.
Right.
Because that's anonymity is the first thing. And so out of respect, I won't give their information. But I will say that I've worked with multiple A-list celebrities. So if you have a client or you have somebody who needs security or protection, that is one of our specialties.
Uh-huh.
Or if you just, you know, want to learn how to kick ass.
Yeah.
I want to go to one of your classes.
Do you have like Krav Maga
actually,
classes?
Actually, my girlfriend is going to be teaching.
Really?
Yeah, she's actually more of a badass than I am.
I believe it.
Yes.
Wait, and so to answer your question, you do teach Krav Maga and stuff like that, right?
I don't teach Krav Maga. I teach more of the weapons to like all the how to take down structures and how to do building clears and how to rescue hostages, like what we saw in Paris with that SWAT team.
Yeah.
Right. But I am affiliated with the Krav Maga school. I'm going to plug it. It's called Rekum, or Roy Elganian's Krav Maga.
Uh-huh.
Roy and I are partners. He has an awesome Krav Maga school in Venice. And I rent space from Roy, and he is a friend of mine. And he was the head of Krav Maga training for the entire Israeli paratrooper division or brigade, the Tzanchanim. And he was trained their special forces and was responsible for developing all of the curriculum for the Israeli paratroopers. And now he teaches. It's on the corner of Washington and Lincoln. It's called Royal Ganyan's Krav Maga. I endorse it. He's the man. It's mainly civilians that he teaches down there, and it's a sweat box, and he kicks your ass. If you want to learn self-defense, Krav Maga is the only way to go, in my opinion.
Really?
And Roy doesn't teach the filtered garbage version like some of the other associations. He was an IDF instructor. So he mixes his black belts from jiu-jitsu with Krav Maga, and he kicks your ass. And that's where I train law enforcement. On the second floor there, I close it up and have a private space. So you should go there.
Okay.
Very cool.
And like I was saying, my girlfriend is a badass. More of a badass than I am.
Right. What does she do?
She is a 13-year IDF sniper.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And still in the military, yeah.
Wow.
She's an active IDF sniper.
Really?
Correct.
Still active. Wow.
Are you afraid for her safety at any time?
Not even a little bit.
Cool.
Not even a little bit. In fact, you know, I learned things from her.
Very cool. Very cool. Are you guys going to get married?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought I'd put you on the spot.
But
on
listen,
the radio.
If we get married, you know, I'm going to call in and I'm going to tell you.
Okay, sounds good.
Do you guys do phones?
Sounds good.
Do we do call-ins here?
This call-ins all the time. I never do.
You know, I don't do it either.
Yeah,
Bill Handel, who's like my mentor at KFI, I call him the rabbi.
Why?
Because we're two Jews. And he's like, listen, if you want to survive, and he teaches me, and he's like, don't ever take a call. He's like, what do you need? What do you want to listen to someone yap on the
phone for? Exactly. And they usually take it in a different direction anyway.
Yeah.
They don't know what they want to say. Yeah, it's boring.
It's like this. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your own show.
I'd rather stay with my guest here, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so early on I realized
I don't even do guests.
I'm crazy about it.
But I would have you guys on.
What?
But so you just talk yourself for an hour?
I'm a yenta. I can yap.
I remember, actually, when you were going on the show for the first time.
Oh, I was terrible.
And you called me and you were like, do you have any pointers? And I was like, yeah. You're going to talk to yourself for an hour or what
two
was it,
hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
I was like, well, just come prepared.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't do it. But some people can do a radio show on their own. It's pretty admirable. You know?
I just feel like it. Well, thank you. I feel like if you can hang for 2 hours on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you guys a little tip that I learned?
Okay.
Sure.
It's a great tip.
Great.
We like tips.
The program director at KFI gave this to me and I do it every show. I do it a couple times. When you're in the middle of a thought and you're speaking, take a pause and hold it for a slightly...
I just fell asleep.
Uncomfortable period of time.
Why?
Yeah,
because Because when you wait, it draws the listener in closer.
Does it?
It does.
Right.
Take a pause. Just take a break and then hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then continue your thought.
So you see what happens?
Because you're hanging on what I'm going to say next. It's a little uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
But when you're in the car, everyone's holding and they're listening. Right. And it just pulls them in a little bit more. And it gives you time to collect a thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's definitely true.
I thought it was an awesome tactic and I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
So I just hold and then deliver.
No, I mean, and it's good. It's better than the ahs and all that stuff. I do that all the time. Yeah.
So when you're about to do an
Yeah.
Because you probably
quiet,
have the
right?
A, right?
Right.
Just.
Yeah. Just be
get
quiet.
Get it and then throw it.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, you know, you don't want like dead air. So
right.
You always try to make a sound or something.
Yeah, they say dead air is a bad thing, but isn't really, I mean.
No, not really. I mean, you know, I mean, dead air for a second or two is not a bad
thing. A couple seconds
is
all right.
No, it works.
I just went to sleep.
All right, so go ahead, promote your show again. You guys can go to ims-security.com, find out everything about Aaron Cohen and his services and everything. And the book is Brotherhood of Warriors, and you can get that on Amazon. Aaron Cohen, of course. And your show again?
KFI AM 640, the weekends, 4 to 6.
Every okay. Sunday.
It's been Sundays. I kind of jump back and forth Sunday and Saturday. So I'll just say weekends. And then if you guys want to follow me, my Twitter is AaronCohen217.
Okay.
Or you can email me at AaronCohenKFI at gmail.com. Aaron Cohen.
AFI. KFI.
Aaron Cohen, KFI.
At Gmail.
At gmail.com.
I listen to your podcast. I know that.
I don't even know my email.
It's okay.
I don't even know how to get into my email.
Oh, God.
I don't even like. But you know what I do? I read them on the air. I used to be snooty, and then I was like, stop. Be grateful.
Yeah, right. You said that on the air.
Because it's like, this is a great job.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, to be able to do this and get paid,
mm-hmm.
This is retarded. This is ridiculous. This is it's amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the best thing is that, and so when I'm reading them, even I'll read out the bad ones, too. I won't actually read them, but I'll, like, acknowledge the hate mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then the greatest thing is you can rebut, and they can't do anything.
Right.
You can smash the crap out of them. I had this one girl, she was like, you're selling out. Thanks for giving your YouTube page and this and that. The other, I go, first of all, and I just started ripping and I was like, I'm going to get an email from the head of iHeartRadio and they're going to fire me for being such a dick. But they can't come back, which is great.
Yeah.
Right.
No guests, no phone calls ever.
Yeah.
But you guys can come on.
Thank you.
Well, we feel honored, actually. Aaron, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
And did we cover everything? Do you want to plug anything else? You guys want
security
services?
Keep your eye out. There's a new Discovery Channel show coming up that I'm going to be co-hosting with the famous Lee Ernie, who was the famous Marine Corps drill instructor in Stanley Kubrick's movie Full Metal Jacket. I don't know if you guys remember him. Discovery, the Outdoor Channel, which is owned by Discovery, is doing a show. I will be co-hosting an episode with him. Keep an eye out for it. I'll tweet it.
What's the show called?
I don't know the actual work. I don't think they have an actual working title of the show. But I will be representing the Israeli Tavor, which is Israel's newest assault weapon.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been asked to come on and show Lee Ernie how to use this weapon. And it'll be a lot of fun. The Outdoor Channel. I have no dates. I have nothing. But keep an eye out. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Before I even took it to KFI. Right. So, no, this has been great. I appreciate you guys.
Well, sure. So, Aaron, thank you so much. You're very fascinating. All the best to you.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate
and
it.
And I know we need people need security like you provide and everything. So I'm sure you find your share of work.
It's out there.
In the business. Okay, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to your father for listening.
Okay, yeah, he would love that.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.